Let us pray. God of mercy, you promised never to break your covenant with us. Amid all the changing words of our generation, speak your eternal word that does not change. Then may we respond to your gracious promises with faithful, joyful, and obedient lives. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture lesson for today comes from Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9 and 23 through 29. Together, let us listen for the word of God. You irrational Galatians, who put a spell on you? Jesus Christ was put on display as crucified before your eyes. I just want to know this from you. Did you receive the Spirit by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so irrational? After you started with the Spirit, are you now finishing up with your own human effort? Did you experience so much for nothing? I wonder if it really was for nothing. So does the one providing you with the Spirit and working miracles among you do this by you doing the works of the law or by you believing what you heard? Understand that in the same way that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, those who believe are children of Abraham. But when it saw ahead of time that God would make the Gentiles righteous on the basis of faith, Scripture preached the gospel in advance to Abraham. All the Gentiles will be blessed in you. Therefore, those who believe are blessed together with Abraham who believed. Before faith came, we were guarded under the law, locked up until faith that was coming would be revealed, so that the law became our custodian until Christ, so that we might be made righteous by faith. But now that faith has come. We are no longer under a custodian. You are all God's children through faith in Christ Jesus. All of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, if you belong to Christ, then indeed you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now you're invited to pause for a moment for prayer and reflection on the text. Amen. What were you thinking? Well, I've not done extensive research. I'm fairly certain that almost everyone has a parent or a friend who has blurted this out in response to something they have done. Or, here's that last square on your bingo card, Joe. Maybe it's just me. I'm pretty sure my dad asked it when I absentmindedly backed my mom's car into the garage door as it closed. I thought it was already closed, so I clicked the button and started pulling out, only stopping when I heard and felt the crunch. I have no idea what I was actually thinking. It was 1980-something, so I can't even blame my phone. If you were to interview my friends, they would likely have stories, too, about bad haircuts, terrible dates, and questionable fashion choices. Some might have even asked what I was thinking when I sensed a call to go to seminary or marry that nice Baptist boy I had known for less than 2 years. On those last two, I can say I'm not sure what I was thinking, But I have never regretted saying yes in either case. Paul begins this part of his letter to the Galatians asking almost the same question: who has put a spell on you? Some might say that he sounds angry, but I think he's worried about the Galatian church. Have you lost your mind? He seems to ask, or perhaps more poignantly, has someone tricked you? Are you losing your way? Are you forgetting everything I taught you or all that we shared while I was with you? Now, if I were more of a suspicious type, I might wonder if this is about Paul and Paul's legacy. Is the church in Galatia fleeting? Are the Galatians just a fickle bunch, simply turning into silly fangirls and fanboys over the latest flashy personality who comes their way in Jesus' name? They may be, but I don't think Paul is all that worried about getting credit or having his name emblazoned on a plaque over the door of First Church of Antioch. No, I think he's worried about those who came to faith in Jesus while he was among them. He desperately wants them to cling to the grace found in Jesus Christ. He does not want them to lose sight of how much they are loved by God and by him. He does not want them to begin to think that they must do or change or be certain things to be worthy of that grace. And there is so very little Paul can do to remind them or persuade them. He cannot be with them in person, so he writes them a letter. In a very specific way, Paul is deeply concerned about the whole circumcision question. As we heard last week from the first chapter of this letter and then the 15th chapter of Acts the week before that, not everything is smooth sailing in the earliest church. For generation upon generation, the people of ancient Israel clung tenaciously to following the Torah, the law as handed down to them from Moses. They're observing the Sabbath, worshiping only one God, abstaining from certain foods, caring for their elders and welcoming strangers were just a few of the ways they carved out their place and their identity as a tiny nation in a hostile world. And circumcision was part of this faithful observance, a practice that symbolizes the covenant between God and the people of ancient Israel, a practice that began with Abraham and Isaac and continued through Jesus' family and Paul's too. And Paul is in no way denigrating this practice. He is not saying that faithful ones should stop doing all of the things they've been doing as outward expressions of their faith in God and their promises to God. Instead, he is saying that the law is not the end of the story. In Jesus, we meet one who values the law, who is its very fulfillment, in fact. And in Jesus, we see, we're taught to see, just how faithful God is and has been throughout human history. Paul does not want the church at Galatia to lose sight of the Christ he held in front of them, the Christ who came and lived and preached and healed and ate and prayed and suffered and died and rose for them. The Christ who did all of these things, not because they followed all the rules or did everything just so, but out of unflinching divine love for them and for all humanity. I find myself sympathetic with Paul this morning, not because I think you're losing your way, but because I so badly want you to remember always how deeply loved you are. Not because of anything you have done or said or believed or achieved, but because of who God is. I want you to know this deep in your core, and after today, I will not be around to remind you. So this morning, I find myself wanting to tell you all the things. To make sure you promise never to forget the heater in the ladies' room. To lock and then unlock the lounge door again when the latch drags on the ground. To be sure Bob, where's Bob? Where are you, Bob Gray? To be sure Bob doesn't go on the roof or get up on the ladder without Bill around. Okay? I've got witnesses. I want you to relish the beauty that is this place when everything blooms in the spring. And to savor the quiet beauty of this sanctuary lit with candlelight on Christmas Eve. I want to remind you to take good care of one another. To love on all of these babies we've been blessed with, along with their parents. To laugh a lot. To cry when you need to and use the good Kleenex. There's some in the pastor's office. I want to tell you to be kind and gracious to one another. To stick with this place and these people. To listen well to one another. And not to let differences lead to division. And to give each other and your next pastor the benefit of the doubt, even when it is hard. Maybe especially when it's hard. I also find myself wanting to preach to Paul a bit. How's that for arrogant? But maybe to myself too. Paul is devoted to the church in Galatia, along with all the other churches he has helped grow along the way. He has invested his whole self in the sharing of the gospel with them and among them. He has helped them hear the good news and to live out that good news in all sorts of places with all sorts of people. And now, Paul has to trust that the seeds God planted through him will continue to grow and blossom without him there to water them, fertilize them, trim them, or prop them up when they fall down. He has to trust that God will keep tending, keep encouraging, and keep loving the church in Galatia through people other than him. And at some point, Paul has to finish his letter and trust the God he has met in Jesus Christ, the God he's been preaching and proclaiming all along, to take it from there. Paul has to trust God to guide the church in Galatia into a new chapter without him. And so do I. I'm fine. Got my hanky. Paul does trust God. And so do I. The Spirit was up to something long before I got here. And the Spirit is still up to something in this place. Just in the past few weeks, along with tears and graciousness and confusion and sadness, I have witnessed a new determined energy. And a breath of fresh air that is about more than the easing of mask mandates and the uptick in vaccination rates. I've heard many of you saying yes to new callings. I've witnessed you discovering gifts you did not know you had. We have baptized babies and an adult, and we've welcomed new members. God, I wrote is not, but God ain't finished with CPC. Nor is God finished with this weary, cranky old world just yet. There's good news to be shared and love to be offered in Christ's name to those who still think they have to be or do or change or achieve certain things to deserve God's grace. Honestly, I'm not worried that anyone is going to convince you otherwise. I know you know better. And through you, the world can and will know better too. In your baptism, you received the Holy Spirit and you have been clothed with Christ. It's a done deal. You, all y'all. All y'all are God's beloved ones. And you always will be, not because of anything you have done or will do, and not because of Paul or me or any other pastor. No, you are God's beloved ones because the God who called you here and the God who called me here is the same God we have met in Jesus Christ. the God who leads us into new chapters, the God who will never let us go, the God who promises to be with us always, no matter where, no matter what. Thanks be to God. Amen.